If you'll open your Bibles to Mark chapter 9, we'll be looking there this morning as we talk about growing in our faith, and especially in light of growing within the community of faith that God has designated the church. Last night, our family gathered over at our daughter and son-in-law's house to celebrate our granddaughter's fourth birthday. And the theme of the birthday was Alice in Wonderland. And so she had hats for us to all wear that looked like the Mad Hatter's hats. And the birthday cake was decorated with a little teacup on top. And my granddaughter had a little blue and white dress that looked just like the dress that Alice wore. You know that book by Lewis Carroll, Alice Through the Looking Glass, has become a great favorite of children, but if you've never read it, it is a tremendous story for adults to read, and there are all kinds of interesting passages in there that speak not only to children, but also to adults. One of the conversations in there is between the Queen of Hearts and Alice, and the Queen informs Alice that she is 101 years old, 5 months, and one day, to which Alice says, I can't believe that, because she didn't look that old. Can't you? The Queen said. Try again, take a long breath, and shut your eyes. And Alice laughed. There's no use trying. One can't believe impossible things. I dare say you haven't had much practice, said the Queen. When I was your age, I believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast. Now, we smile at the absurdity of that conversation, but I'm convinced that for some Christians today, faith is approached in much the same way as the Queen advised Alice. If you come to a difficulty, you simply squeeze your eyes shut and you will yourself to believe. In Mark chapter 9, there's a story there of a man who had insufficient faith to believe. And not only this father, but the apostles who were trying without success to effect a healing from the demon possession there. Look in Mark chapter 9, down in verse 14. Jesus and his intimates had come down from the Mount of Transfiguration to find the other apostles there at the base. And it says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd among them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder, and they ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. O unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion, and he fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Jesus went on to do what his apostles had been unable to do, and he gave that boy back to his father. This morning, I want to talk to anyone who may be present here this morning who has fallen short of exercising a full degree of faith. If you've ever doubted, or if you've ever wished for greater faith, if you have ever prayed the prayer of the words of this Father, Lord, help my unbelief, then this lesson is for you today. And I want to just share three truths, fundamental truths, about coming to faith and growing in faith. The first truth is simply this. While we may not be willing to admit it always to one another, almost every Christian at some point has a struggle with their faith. Even the apostles struggled with this issue. On one occasion, it's recorded in Luke chapter 17 in verse 5, they came to Jesus with the request, Lord, increase our faith. Four times in Matthew's gospel, Jesus used that phrase that's translated, O ye of little faith. Here in the NIV, it's translated, O unbelieving generation. And every time Jesus used this phrase, it was addressed to fearful people, people who were worried about things. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, there in the Sermon on the Mount, he addressed those who were worried about their food and their clothing. And so he had to explain from nature how God provides. In chapter 8 of Matthew, in verse 26, as the apostles were with him out there during the storm on the Sea of Galilee, he used those words, O ye of little faith. In Matthew 14:31, he used that phrase of Peter, as Peter took his eyes off Jesus and began to look at the waves and the effects of the wind and began to sink into the sea. And Jesus reached out and lifted him with those words, O ye of little faith. And then the last time it's used in Matthew's gospel was in chapter 16, verse 8, who were to the apostles who at that late stage in the game, having seen the multiplication of the fishes and the bread, were worried because they had forgotten to bring bread along on their journey. O ye of little faith. And each time Jesus chided them, he either went on to remind them of God's ability to care for them, or he himself reached out and met their need in that very moment. And the amazing thing is that the apostles' faith grew in direct proportion to the amount of time they spent with Jesus. That faith grew stronger and stronger. When they saw the resurrection, when they watched Jesus ascend bodily back into heaven, when they then received the promised Holy Spirit as Jesus told them they would, their faith grew by leaps and bounds until finally, virtually every one of those apostles would end up giving their life because of their strong faith in Jesus Christ and who He was. You know, faith is ultimately, reliance on another individual based on our relationship with that individual, the experiences we share with that individual. Do you rely on your insurance company? Well, that probably depends on the relationship you have with your agent and the experiences that you've had with him in that company through the years. Do you rely on your doctor? Well, it depends on the relationship and the experience you've had with that doctor through the years. Do you rely on God? Well, it depends on your relationship and upon the experiences that you have shared with God through the years. Without a relationship, there can be no basis for faith. It's always based on that interaction. In Romans, Paul writes that telling phrase about our faith, And he explains how God has made himself known through his word. God reveals himself to us through his word. And thus Paul writes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want a relationship with God? This is where you find it. In God's self-revelation, God will tell us about himself, and we come to know him, and we come to experience him through the lives and interaction of so many others. Who do you trust the least? Can you think of his name or her name? Who do you trust the least? Well, I can guarantee you it's going to be someone that you have the least relationship with or a broken relationship with. I once met a man as I was going through the airport, and he just came up to me and introduced himself to me, and he was selling a product, and he told me that he would allow me to have a special price on this product simply because he liked me. We'd only met. Who do you trust the most? Well, I know for myself, I have a circle. It's an intimate circle of family and friends. And in that group of people, I can honestly say I would trust them with my very life. And that relationship of trust is built on long-term relationships. It's built on them proving themselves trustworthy in times of crisis and in times of need. No, the second truth about faith, not only do we all struggle with it at times, it always grows out of relationship. You know, initial faith with God is a tentative thing. And when we first began to learn to trust in Jesus, we test that relationship at times. It's a little bit like early in the winter when a little bit further north from where we live, people go out and they begin to test the ice on the ponds and places where people ice skate in the winter. And that's a tentative thing, and you test it and you check the depth and you listen for sounds of cracking ice. There's a story that I read several years ago about pioneers that came out west before the Mississippi River had been bridged, and even before there were many ferries crossing that river. And further north, again, where the ice freezes thickly enough to allow transport. One man and his family were there, and he had the family wait on the bank, and it was a bitter cold day, and the ice looked like it was solid from shore to shore on the Mississippi, and so he began first to tentatively crawl out there on his hands and his knees, and he was prepared to spread out and then get back to shore if the ice began to give way, and he had crawled almost the full length of the river testing it when up ahead, he heard someone singing and looked up to see a big ox wagon fully loaded coming toward him, and without any hesitation, right out onto the ice, and found out it was a fella who made daily runs back and forth across that frozen river. Now, seeing someone do that gave him instantly faith in the ability to cross that river and bring his family safely across. Faith is a little bit like going through life with a blindfold on, knowing that there are obstacles in our path and gaping chasms on either side of the trail, and holding on to the hand of God, not being able to see, and at first taking those tentative steps and moving slowly, but as God provides assurance and tells us where the safe path is, being able to walk faster and faster, depending totally upon him. J.G. Machen wrote these words, "The more we know of God, the more unreservedly we will trust him. The greater our progress in theology, that is, understanding the word of God, the simpler and more childlike will be our faith." And then the third truth about faith, God placed faith within community. In Scripture, we find a 4,000 plus year history of how faith has been lived out in the community of those who have come to know God. Abraham was the very first Jew. He was the father of the faithful. From him came a great nation. And he was the first one to hear the voice of God when God said, "Leave your land and go to a land that I will show you." And Abraham stepped out in faith, trusting God. And for Abraham, that was a lot like stepping out on thin ice. And Noah was one who stepped out early on. He trusted God before the first drop of rain had ever fallen on this earth. And he went to work building that ark. Moses stepped out in faith. And he led the Hebrew nation to the shores of the Red Sea before there was ever a bridge or a boat to get them across, trusting somehow that God would provide deliverance for them as the Egyptian army pursued. If you've been watching the news lately, you've seen the many tributes to John Glenn. I'm old enough that I remember that day. I remember it vividly because we just had a radio, and my dad turned the radio on, and we listened to that live programming of that rocket taking off with John Glenn on it and going and orbiting the earth. And I still remember my dad saying to my brother and I want you to boys to always remember this day because this is a day that history is being made. And that stuck with me all those years. John Glenn was the first of his kind. Now, we have had other astronauts that have come along behind him, and they have had confidence because he succeeded in what he did. You know, we don't have to be the first ones in line. We're not Columbus. We're not John Glenn. We're not Abraham or all of those pioneers of faith who've gone before us. We get to see the record of God's dependability and His faithfulness with all these that have gone before. And in the millions of relationships that God has had with men and women over the years, many of whom stories are here for us to see today, not once, not even once, has God failed to come through for those individuals who trusted Him. Never once has God ever let anyone down. He's always proved Himself faithful, always proved Himself true. He's always been there for His people. That's why Paul wrote what he did in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And that line that began with those early believers in God and traces down through all of history. And in Hebrews 11, we read that great chapter of faith. It comes right down into this very community of believers, those who are alive today and trusting in God. I remember standing at the steps of a baptistry, much like this one, as a child and only 5 years old, and watching my parents be baptized. That memory's always stuck with me. And I've seen their faith grow, and I've seen my dad, through his years, become more Christ-like in so many ways. We today are surrounded by family stories, and we wouldn't have time to begin to list the way God has faithfully carried individuals that we all know right here in this church, widows in this church today, widowers in this church today, that God has faithfully carried through the most difficult trials that can come in life. Today we're saddened at the tragic death of Jill Morrison, leaving behind those two 11-year-old children. And we've got two families that are directly connected with that family and that tragedy. But we're going to see God do His greatest work again in times of trial as He faithfully carries people through. And when we see that, when we witness it, when we experience it ourselves, that's what makes faith grow. That's the relationship with God that proves He loves and cares for us and will always be there for us. Faith thrives in community. Faith grows in Christian fellowship. Because I see how my Father cares for others, others all around me, then I am able to grow in my own reliance and my own dependence on Him. Now, faith is not a matter of squeezing our eyes closed and taking a deep breath and simply believing. It is a matter of seeing and experiencing and reading about the faithful God who is worthy of our confidence and worthy of our trust. This morning, if there's anyone here who has never placed their trust in Him, we're going to sing this song of invitation. And we pray that you will have the courage of your conviction to put your trust in Him. And He asks us to demonstrate our trust and our faith by acknowledging Him and by responding in obedience and baptism. If you've never taken that step, please do it today. If you need the prayers of your fellow believers here, we'll pray for you. And I know that God will respond accordingly. If you need to come, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?